morning. This morning I'll be reading 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for your brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly in the charity of every one of you all toward each other abundant.
All right, good morning. Had problems with it there for a second, sorry. Glad to see everybody today, especially glad to see our visitors. We got several today, and you are our honored guest. We're happy you're here. A few things I want to mention real quick. First off, today, at the end of church, after our closing prayer, stay standing a moment. Don't go nowhere, just give it a minute. We got something we're doing right after church today. And also want to say glad for everybody that got to be part of our fellowship meal this week on Friday, our little church cookout. I hear that went really, really well. I was really sad I couldn't be there. Aunt Sarah got sick, but we're feeling better now. And I'm just really thankful for everybody that was there and participated in that. I heard it went really, really well. And we're just kind of having a great year so far here at Clanton, and I know that every time we've done something like that lately, it's gone great. So thankful for everybody being a part of that, taking time to spend time with one another, grow closer as Christians, and thankful for everybody that took part in preparing the food and everything like that. Now this morning, we're going to be getting into our lesson, and as I was thinking about this lesson, I thought about my experience being different parts of different companies. I've probably worked for 6 or 7 different companies and probably 9 or 10 different locations in my life so far. And did a lot of different odd jobs when I was a teenager and when I was in college. And I always think about that part when you're job hunting, like when you're looking for a job, that's kind of miserable to me, which is sending out resumes or filling out applications, whichever it may be. And you know the part that annoys me whenever I'm doing that, just gets on my nerves, is the part where you got to put references in for people that know you. Now, I get the idea there. You know, you can learn a lot about a person from what the people they would consider good references say about them, but I always got a little annoyed because I felt like I would put the references down, and very rarely when somewhere actually brought me in for an interview had they talked to my references at all. But point being, you can learn a lot from people based on the people they would consider as references, and I get the spirit behind that idea. And it's different thinking about, you know, if I was going to put down someone for a job resume, I probably wouldn't put my mama, because that's not really a professional reference, you know? But I think if you wanted to know about me, you'd be a lot better served to asking my mama, because she knows a lot about me and who I am as a person. Sometimes she knows me a little better than I know myself, and she'll say something to me and I'd be like, I mean, I guess you're right, but you didn't have to be so honest about it. You know, she might know me a little too well. But there's something powerful to be said about what the people that know you, that care about you, have to say about who you are. Well, the kind of person you've proved to be through your actions and through the way you treated them. And we are in John chapter 5, continuing that section. We're going to finish out the chapter today. We've been going through John, looking at Jesus and his life and his journey to help people understand him, to believe in him. And we're in a section here in chapter 5 where Jesus is proving that he is God. He's healed a disabled man on the Sabbath, and when questioned as to why he would break the Sabbath law, Jesus responded that the Father works on the Sabbath, and therefore he must also work on the Sabbath because he is God. And the rest of this 5th chapter is Jesus' testimony that he is God. He showed that he is equal to the Father in person, in works, in power, in judgment, and in honor. And further, Jesus has the power to determine who will be given life, who will be raised to life or raised to judgment. And he rounds out his argument where he's trying to prove to the people who he is by presenting his own witnesses, his references to his own godhood. He says, you know, you can believe me because of these words as well.
As Jesus begins, he teaches that he's not acting like some kind of renegade or rebel. You know, that's what he's being accused of. He's not really representing God in the things that he's doing. He's a troublemaker. And Jesus is trying to explain to them that, no, me and the Father are one. There's one God. And so Jesus says that what he does and the judgment that he gives is the judgment of the Father, because he hears the Father and seeks the will of the Father. But he also recognizes that they aren't listening to him. They are not accepting his testimony. And you know, the law of Moses says that you can't accept a testimony without two or three witnesses in the court of law when it comes to a crime. And Jesus hasn't committed any crime, but he does try to provide them with some help. You know, if you're not going to listen to me, let me give you some witnesses so that you will understand and that my testimony won't be rejected by you. And he begins this in John chapter 5, starting in verse 33. Whoops. Back one. There we go. Back one more. Back verse 33. We're going to read to about verse 35 to start, and we'll continue on through this as we go. Starting in verse 33 of John chapter 5, it says, "You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." This is after verse 32. Jesus is talking to these people that doubt him, and he said in verse 32, "There's another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true." Jesus, like I say, is trying to present some of the different people that witness about him. The Jewish leaders had sent messengers to John, we can see that in John chapter 1, verse 19, to learn about who John the Baptist was. Now listen to how John the Baptist described himself in verse 22 of chapter 1. He says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. John gave his testimony. He was preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. He pointed to Jesus repeatedly after he met Jesus and said, "This is it. This is the one I was preparing the way for. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lord has come. If y'all are listening to me, this is where you go." John gave his testimony to Jesus being the Lord. But listen to Jesus in verse 34. He says in John 5:34 that he doesn't rely on the testimony of humans. John gave his witness about Jesus, but this is not the testimony that he relies on. Jesus brings John up to teach the people that John was right. You know, they listened to John. They sent messengers out to talk to him. And Jesus says, "Well, if you're going to listen to human beings, John had this to say about me. You should have listened to John. He came preaching about me so that you would be saved. John warned you to repent because the axe was laid at the root of the tree. And you should have listened to himself and made yourselves ready for my arrival." John was not the true light, as the book of John says in the beginning, but he was a bearer of the light. He was a burning and shining lamp, is the image Jesus uses here. Showing the way to Jesus. This imagery comes from Psalm 132, verse 17, where it says, God says he prepared a lamp for his anointed. Jesus is the anointed, and John is that lamp. Now here's the problem. Some of the people, when John came, listened to John for a little while. They rejoiced in him. But the implication is that a lot of people just kind of stopped listening to John after a while. That the rejoicing was temporary. A lot of them did not transfer from John to following Jesus. They were excited about John's message concerning the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, but they kind of lose steam. They stop following. And I think this is something we can all kind of relate to as Christians. We all struggle with sometimes. We rejoice in the message of the gospel. It's pretty easy to kind of go back to how we were before we heard it, not long after hearing it. We rejoice in the forgiveness of sins as we come to Jesus, but then we sometimes stop rejoicing. We stop giving thanks. We stop caring about what the Lord has done for us, and we go back to who we were before, to what we were doing before. You know, I read this, and I read what John has to say, or what Jesus says here to them about their own response to John the Baptist, and think about my own faith, my own spiritual fire. You know, what do I give thanks for when I talk to God? Do I count my spiritual blessings still when I talk to him? I don't want to lose my joy at salvation. I don't want to stop rejoicing about what the Lord's done for me. I don't want to return to my old life because my joy has worn off. And so I think I read what Jesus says here, and it just kind of reminds me that I need to keep pressing on. I need to keep drawing closer to Jesus, keep searching to know Him more and to be in a better relationship with Him. Because being a Christian is like being in almost any serious relationship. You know, whether it be parents with children, but especially I think of husband and wife or just maybe close friends. When it comes to your relationship with God, we're not going to be 100% on fire all the time. And that's okay, because as human beings, we are not built to be 100% on fire all the time. That's not sustainable. We're just not built to be that way. That excitable beginning of any relationship is just the start. The important thing is that we continue our relationship. We keep letting it grow. We continue to make it a priority in our lives. It's not so much that, you know, I found Jesus, and now every conversation I have, whenever I see anybody, first thing I mention is, I know Jesus, I'm John, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, let's talk about it. That's good. It's good to have that enthusiasm and that love, but it's a little shallow. It's just kind of the first step. Love is not about, like, your immediate on the surface, throwing them at everybody you see feelings. But it's about consistently making Him a part of your daily life. About not just telling people about Him, but about every time I make a decision, every time I'm struggling with something, I think about God. Because I love God, God's part of my life. When I'm eating and when I'm drinking something, I think about Him and I thank Him for that. When I say hello or goodbye to my family, I think about how God's put them in my life. I think a key part of keeping our fire alive as Christians and clinging to God is not so much about that surface level excitement, but it's about having that deep connection to God. You know, I think about it kind of like marriage. I love my wife. I don't start every conversation by telling people about how wonderful my wife is. She is wonderful. But I do get to where every time I'm thinking about things in my life, things going on in my life, if I'm making an important decision, if I'm coming home from work and I decide I want to go to Jack's and get me a sandwich, I call my wife and I say, hey, would you like one of these? Because I was thinking about you. I think that's the relationship with God, how it's supposed to look. It's not just this fire, but it's this continual thought and concern about your relationship with God, your care about how God fits into your life and how you fit into His plan. Jesus continues on. He talks about how His own works are a witness in verse 36 of John chapter 5. He says, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Jesus has got the testimony in the words of John, but as He's given this witness, trying to get the people to see who He is, He says, I've got something better. Look at all these signs that I am performing. This is a point noted at the very beginning of our study in this gospel. John is recording signs that Jesus did in this book. He very specifically uses that word. He records 7 signs to prove that Jesus is God, because Jesus is doing things that we see God do in the scriptures before. Jesus is doing the works of God, proving that He is God. You know, nobody could do what Jesus did unless they were God. This is one of Jesus' pieces of evidence, one of His witnesses to His own power. And next in verses 37 through 38, he goes on, he says, and the Father who sent me has Himself borne witness about me. His voice you've never heard, and His form you've never seen, and you do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom He has sent. Jesus' third witness. He says, John talked about me. My own works should be a witness about me. But you know who else talked about me? The Father. Jesus calls to the stand God the Father Himself. In verse 37, He says the Father has given His witness concerning Him. Now, we would expect Jesus to explain how God the Father has given this testimony, but He doesn't. He's already recorded the testimony of the Father, or the book of John's already recorded the testimony of the Father about Jesus in John chapter 1. Back in verses 32 and 34, John chapter 1, It says after Jesus' baptism in chapter 1, verse 32, "And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" This word witness occurs a lot in John. It's interesting if you go through the book and look at it. But we see here that God the Father, at Jesus' baptism, proclaims, "This is my beloved Son." He proclaims who he is. The Holy Spirit and the Father both give their testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. The Spirit hovering over Jesus at baptism and the words of the Father that this is his beloved Son show us. But Jesus doesn't make any of those points right here. That's not what Jesus talks about when Jesus talks about how the Father has borne witness. Notice what he says in verses 37 and 38 of John chapter 5. "His voice you've never heard. His form you've never seen. You don't have his word abiding in you." Now this is a serious blasting. This is a serious attack on these Jewish leaders that are confronting Jesus, because despite his opponents' claim to know God and through the Torah, Jesus denies that they actually know God at all. It's like Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where Jesus says, "Are you a teacher of Israel? You don't understand this basic stuff?" At Sinai, Israel saw the greatness of God's glory. Their ears heard the glory of his voice in Exodus 24. But Jesus denies that those who reject him ever truly listened to the Torah, ever truly listened to the Old Testament. There are several Old Testament figures who heard the voice of God. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Isaiah, they all saw or heard God in one sense or another, though not seeing God directly. Israel received the law at Sinai and they accepted it from Moses. So Israel's always said, you know, "We heard God. We're God's people. We got the word." But Jesus said that that's not true based on the way you're acting. You might have the word, but you're not listening to it. It's not in your hearts. It's not abiding within you. The Jews are rejecting this greater revelation from an even greater messenger because they don't know who God is and they're not listening to him. If they don't know God, how are they going to know Jesus? Jesus says if God's word was within you, if you were listening to what you already had, you listen to me. And that brings us to the next witness that Jesus talks about, verses 39 through 44. It says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's they that bear witness about me." Jesus says the scriptures themselves bear witness about me. "Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I've come in my Father's name, and you don't receive me. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" Listen to what Jesus says. He says the scriptures bear witness. And when he's talking about the scriptures in Jesus' day, this is the Old Testament. You know, everything from Genesis to Malachi bears witness about Jesus. And sometimes people wonder, you know, why do we study the Old Testament? It is hard. And it is, being honest, sometimes it's a little boring. If you get stuck in some of those laws in Exodus or some of those genealogies, the book of Numbers has a lot of numbers. But sometimes people think it's irrelevant or it's unimportant. But not only did Jesus say that those... Not only did God say that those are his words, breathed out on a page, and we should listen to them, but Jesus says that those books speak about him. They came to know about who Jesus is and what he would do and their place in God's plan by reading this Old Testament. And if we want to get to know Jesus, we need to read it ourselves because those books give us all the context and meaning that we need. It's not optional to know those things. We actually need that to understand Jesus and to know him more. One reason we don't know our Lord and why we remain weak as Christians is because we don't move on from the soft, easy milk of the word to the solid food. We don't know the scriptures. Isaiah said he saw the Lord. John tells us that Isaiah saw the Son of God and spoke about him. Isaiah saw the Christ and wrote about it. And we come along and we decide to ignore the Old Testament and wonder why we can't figure God's word out. Every book is speaking about Jesus. And Jesus says that you can read the scriptures all you want to, but if you don't see Jesus in them, then you're not going to find life. Jesus says that if you read them and don't see him, you're not reading it right. And when Jesus is rejected, then all scriptures are rejected, including this Old Testament, because they all talk about him. And I think sometimes it's even worse. We do what the Jewish leaders did. And I think this is really easy to do, but it is a dangerous thing that we do. We search the scriptures, but we don't read the scriptures for what they say. You know, we don't sit down with the Bible and go, okay, I want to learn what was going on in Nehemiah, because they don't know Nehemiah very well, and there's a lot I can learn there. That's good. I know we do that sometimes. But maybe sometimes we turn to the scriptures because, you know, Brother Jimmy said this, and I disagree with Brother Jimmy. Now, I don't know where Jimmy got this idea, but I'm going to pull out my Bible, and I'm going to show him where it says in the book of Second Opinions what it actually means. Sometimes we turn to the scriptures on a doctrine-finding mission. We memorize places where baptism is taught and where we're commanded to assemble together. And we know the places to turn so we can have an argument pit with people that disagree with us. But we don't read and breathe the scriptures to find life. We study what we think we need to know. And we try to boil scripture down to simple statements and memorized cliches. But we need to read scripture to get to know Jesus. We don't need to just read scripture to prove that what we've always known, or see what we've always seen, or to confirm what we've already believed. These leaders are criticized for how they're searching the scriptures. There's a wrong way to read the Bible. Read to learn about God and his word and to let it transform your life. It doesn't matter how much you know. You got a lot left to learn with the Bible. It's a big book. We all do. And so keep reading it to grow and to learn. This book will never stop surprising you if you'll open your ears to it. And that was the Pharisees' problem. A lot of the Jewish leadership's problem is they were reading it, but they weren't listening. Their ears were closed. They were going to find what they knew was there waiting on them. They were looking for a sounding board and not something to listen to. Notice how Jesus proceeds further with this. Jesus declares that he's not interested in receiving their approval. He's not going to change what he's doing to satisfy the expectations of these religious leaders. They're going to accept other people who come in their own name because they'll do what the people want. But the people won't accept, give glory, or love Jesus because he didn't come to run in a popularity contest. He came in the name of the Father and does what the Father's given him to do. And in fact, Jesus says they cannot believe because they are more concerned about receiving the glory of other people than the glory that comes from God. And I think another reason sometimes we fail and we struggle to draw closer to God and belong to Jesus is because it's pretty easy to get more concerned about the glory from people than the glory from God. We gotta learn to not concern ourselves with what others expect of God. We got to learn to not do what we need to do what God expects of us instead. Too often we're seeking approval. You know, we want our families to agree with us, our friends to agree with us. We want community. We're not considering or seeking approval from God so much when we get focused on that. We're trying to please people when we make our decisions. And too often we become so focused on pleasing people that we stop realizing pleasing people keeps us sometimes from pleasing God. The will of God and what others want conflict sometimes. I think that's important to remember as Christians. It's not always going to make you popular to be reading the Bible and asking questions about it and trying to learn from it. You're not always going to agree with others. But we got to be listening to it. Not just for ourselves, but because we need each other to lean on to talk to about this book, because it's complicated. We saw today, we looked at 2 Thessalonians in our class. I don't understand that book on my own, but I get it a lot better when I got Walter talking to me about it, and Larry talking to me about it, and I got a community to discuss it with. I need help to understand the Scripture. I think we all do. In the last few verses of chapter 5, verses 45 through 47, Jesus turns to one final witness. He says, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who will accuse you, Moses, on whom you've set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. He wrote of me, but you don't believe his writings, so how are you going to believe my words?" Jesus concludes with the final witness, Moses. He says, Moses is the accuser of you people because you're not listening to me. You're not accepting Jesus as God. And if they believed Moses, if they listened to Moses, they would have. Moses and the law point to Jesus. This is a weighty statement because throughout Israel's history, it's Moses that interceded on behalf of the people. Consider how many times, if you're reading the first five books of the Bible, Moses averts God's wrath by pleading on behalf of Israel. You know, Moses usually is helping them stay away from the wrath of God. But they had pinned their hopes on Moses and not on the one Moses wrote about. And instead of receiving glory before God, they're going to receive condemnation and their hope would be in vain. If Moses were there, he would not be interceding for them. He would be condemning them. What are y'all doing? Stop looking at me. Look at God. Look at Jesus. Witnesses have been presented. Jesus is God, according to John the Baptizer, according to his own works, according to the Father, according to the Scriptures, and according to Moses. And I think looking at the way Jesus lays out all this evidence for us reminds us that we need to be looking at Scripture, not just the New Testament, but all of it, to find out who Jesus is, to better understand him. And then with open hearts, we see the glory of God, not the glory of people, so that we'll believe in Jesus and put our hope in him. He is the giver of life, and his very words will give life to those that hear him and obey. So maybe you are a Christian, and you feel like you've stopped listening to him. You kind of gotten trapped in this cycle of just turning to the Bible to argue with others. And you stop really listening to it, trying to learn. Well, if that's the case, I want to encourage you to make a change today. Try reading something you don't know or you don't understand, or trying to go after one of those books that you thought for a long time, I just don't get that one. Try to learn more about God through that. Maybe you are a Christian, or you aren't a Christian, and you don't understand this Christ. Well, today is the day to accept Jesus as Lord, to submit to the words that we have from him, and to make a change if you need to. If you have any need this morning, any struggle we can help you with, please come as we stand and as we sing.
Using your songbook, turn with me to number 650, 650. We'll sing this one and be dismissed in prayer. There's a call comes ringing, all the restless waves send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love, send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above, send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine.